Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and today is Wednesday, February the 27th, and we welcome you to our show. Call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We do want your comments and your questions, because then it makes it your show. And so we want to welcome Michael. Hi.
Hey, sweetie. Delighted to be here. Once again, we're honored to be here to support you in the learning of the ancient Aramaic understanding of a tool called forgiveness. We get the blessing of learning it again for ourselves every time we teach it and coming to new levels of understanding in this pursuit of what's the truth about how to change your mind. You know, there are lots of different ways on the planet that people will try to force us to change our minds. They'll beat trees or pillows, or they'll scream, or they'll rage. They'll cry. All kinds of different ways of trying to get that root part of the mind to change. But my offering is that there was a man 2,000 years ago who understood exactly how to go to the core of the mind and change its content. You know exactly how to show people to go right to the very center of their own minds and begin the process. And I say begin because when you recognize that we live on top of 1,000 generations, there's work to be done. It's not an overnight thing. It's not an instant success type of process, but it is an ongoing process that if you put the pen to the paper and you actually use it, will work, will change your mind. Because what it does is it collapses the projections. What actual forgiveness does is it collapses the projection that my pain is about something you did and I should forgive you. Forget about forgiving people. Go inside yourself and forgive your own content. So actual forgiveness collapses the projections of the mind. It cracks open the dissociated parts of the mind, and puts us directly in touch with what we've been hiding from ourselves by blaming everybody else. That's called forgiveness. And I would offer that any philosophy or set of tools that does not include that process is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Doesn't matter how comfortable your seat is, doesn't matter how close you are to the music and hearing it, doesn't matter if you're the last one to go into the water, the ship is going down. And when you begin to crack open that dissociated mind, all kinds of absolutely amazing things happen in the world. And so, Jeannie, we have, I think, a topic on the table. I'm not sure if Julie and Magda are with us, but we were going to talk a little bit about drivers in the mind. And so, do we have Dr. Tim? Do we have David? Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Fabulous. Glad that you're with us. We're blessed once again by your presence on our team, as we are with each person that tends to play. And you bless us so often with the support that you give us by, you know, when we're on the road, you jump in and you get on the switchboard and operate it for us. And then when we're not available, you host the show and your work is fabulous with that, and we appreciate you a lot.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be included and to be on the team. We had a snowstorm last night, so I was the only one to show up for the Mind Shifters group. But I worked with the Beatitudes a bit and then did a worksheet and then went home, having stayed until 8:30 to make sure no one was going to show up. And that was good energy and time well spent. And the snow is relatively cleared, so the streets are cleared today, so people are getting where they need to go. So doing beautifully.
Fabulous. Anything important on your mind today?
Well, I would just advocate to talk a little bit more about the water and the filters and all those things we were talking about yesterday, and encourage you to get that topic going again, because so many people need to get educated about what we're doing to ourselves physically in this in the physical realm. So I looked up the filters, and the shower filter that you recommended, it was sold to a different company, but it's still available for just whatever you said, $89. And so,
you know, as I said, I haven't gotten a hold of I know the owner of the company personally, and I haven't done anything with that product in a couple of years. So once I get a hold of him, I'll know more about what's going on in that regard. But speaking about what we're doing to ourselves, I just got an email this morning from there's a group called Oceana, OCEANA, that's been doing U.S. investigation in the U.S. on the fraudulent labeling of fish. And apparently 59% of people who are eating tuna, aside from all the other stuff, the oil spills, the mercury and all, but 59% of people who think they're eating tuna actually are not eating tuna at all. They're eating a totally different fish that tends to cause severe gastrointestinal problems, explosive diarrhea and such. And the fraud is just, unbelievable when you look at what's going on in that arena. In fact, I just sent it. I'm getting ready to send it to Jeannie, posted on our website. Like, for instance, Red Snapper, according to their tests, they did actual DNA tests out of stores and restaurants and such. Of 120 Red Snapper samples, they only found 7 that were actually Red Snapper that were honestly labeled. Mislabeling was found in 27 of 46 fish types, and 90% of the seafood used in the U.S. is imported from somewhere else and is subject to very little or no inspection. And it's just really amazing that this sort of thing happens. And you know, it's back to that line that we shared from oh, what's his name? What's the movie? Show Me the Money. Anyway, the line, Show Me the Money. It's just back to that game. And that, which is just a documentation that we need to more and more become responsible for our own health and responsible for knowing where we're getting the foods that we're getting. This report says 44% of grocery stores, restaurants, and sushi venues sold mislabeled seafood, which is just, you know, people think they're ordering Red Snapper, one of the more expensive fish going, and what they found is they're oftentimes getting tilapia. And tilapia, when it's raised in places like Asia, oftentimes it's farm-raised in human sewage, and the last 2 weeks before it's sent to market, it's put into clean water so that the mud and the the grunge in the fish is cleaned out, so it looks like it's relatively edible. It's just amazing. And most of the, as I understand it, tilapia, the females, of course, are very small and not very edible. And so what they do is they feed them a hormone, genetically alter them, so that the females turn into males, which are larger and make a fillet that's, you know, of edible size. I mean, the fraud that's going on is just amazing, and it's just time for us to wake up in every arena of our lives. So I'm going to agree with you on that one, sir.
Yeah, it's good to know. Good to know what we're putting in our bodies, and as well as taking care of what we're thinking and generating with our thoughts, it's good to know what we're putting in terms of food. So,
absolutely. So we had started a conversation with Magda yesterday. I don't know, is Julie with us, Jeannie? Okay, well, we'll check and see. Magda had some questions for us yesterday that we were going to talk about, and I'm not sure if Julie's with you or not, but let's check in with Magda and say hello.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome, neighbor.
Welcome. Thank you. So good to talk with you. I thought about it since we chatted for a moment yesterday, and I don't really have a question. What I have are comments. And so if I can have a few minutes, what I actually did was make some notes for myself, so I would hopefully make some sense here. And my comments are about number 5 on the current worksheet. And I've heard from other people that number 5 is considered too full of information and too complex. And so a lot of folks just don't read it, and they go directly to canceling their goal. And I agree with you, Michael, that the information in that step, number 5, is very important to know, and that it does take repetition to build the brain cells that are important to understand the reason for canceling a goal and how that all works. However, I'm also aware that folks won't want to read it if it is confusing or contains mixed images, and that's what my comments are about, are mixed images.
Let me just throw in a couple of thoughts before we move into the mixed image idea.
Okay.
And it is that, you know, when you look at the fact that we have been duped for thousands of years into thinking that forgiveness is about letting somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of us, of course, the mind is going to surface confusion when it's given a new idea. I think that number 5 is crystal, crystal clear. Zero confusion whatsoever for me. And I think that the mind projects confusion where it's confronted with something that it holds to believe is true that isn't true. And I'd offer that's where the confusion comes in. And the reason why I put that much information into number 5 was so that, and with the invitation to people, and of course people can ignore instructions, and, you know, if you went to study physics in school and you ignored all the instructions of the professor, you wouldn't ever come out with a physics degree. And when it comes to, I think, the major key question of how do you change the content of your own multi-generational database in mind, if you ignore the instructions, of course, it probably isn't going to happen. But the idea, because oftentimes, if you remember, when we're on the road, we might get one exposure to this particular person or these particular groups of people, and they may never see us again. And, you know, psychologists tell us that in order to make something your own, you have to hear it 30 times. So I purposely put literally a review of the whole workshop into step 5.
Right.
And my invitation to people is read it every time. And when you do, you're building the brain cells. You're actually reviewing the whole workshop. And so that was the idea behind that. And, you know, if you're going to deal with one of the core major issues in life, sorry, folks, a two-second one line idea isn't going to do it for you. So, you know, it's a process. And those who choose not to engage in the process, you know, if somebody wants to become a medical doctor, but, you know, I'm not really going to go to medical school, and I'm not going to study those difficult textbooks, and I'm not going to learn that chemistry, and I'm not going to, well, then they're not going to do it, and that's okay. That's their choice. But to me, the five or six lines that are there are pretty simple and straightforward, and they're about building the brain cells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I understand your reasoning for doing it, and I agree that it is important, as I said just a little while ago, that we do have that repetition to build the brain cells. And I fully understand that you've got your whole workshop in that number five. So that's not what I'm talking about when I'm saying confusion. Let me just put it out there, and then you can, you know, comment and see if I have my confusion going on for some other reason. So I just recently, I talked with you a couple of weeks ago about this. I had this insight for myself that made the concepts in that paragraph much more clear. And even though I understood all of those concepts, there was something about it that seemed a bit confusing. I didn't know what it was. And so I realized that my mind was being taken in two different directions by the words driver, built, and collapse. And I'll explain what I mean.
What was the second word? I missed the second word, driver.
Driver, built. In the first sentence, you say, it says, when upset, my reality is the result of, driven by my goal, and is built out of corrupt data.
Okay.
So I changed to driver. It's driven. Okay. And
okay. So you gave me three words. I still don't know what the second word was. You gave me three words. Driver. What was the second word?
First one is driver. The second one is built. It's in that same sentence.
B-U-I-L-T? Okay, I got
B-U-I-L-T.
It.
B-U-I-L-T. And the third word is collapse.
Okay.
Okay, so the word driver or driven brings up the image, for me at least, of a vehicle. Now, for some other people, it could be something about the driver of a computer, but I don't understand that stuff, so I have the image of a vehicle. And the word built, which is in that same sentence as driven, brings up the image of a building being constructed. That's in my mind. Then the word collapse, which is used later, twice later in that paragraph, again brings up the image of a building imploding,
yeah,
collapsing.
Yeah.
So I had these two different images firing because of those words, which resulted in a very subtle confusion that I didn't even realize for a long time that I was there. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So a few weeks ago, I had this inspiration to see that paragraph with a consistent image, and suddenly everything was much more easy for my mind to accept, accept. And now I don't mind reading all those sentences, because they fit into a clear picture, whereas before I was forcing myself to read everything because I knew it was a good thing to do so I could, you know, build the brain cells. Go ahead.
No, I was just doing it. I'm got it.
Okay. So I'd like to just real briefly share two different ways that we could express it. The image that works for me, and of course, you know, there could be a lot of others, very simply put, if we describe the goal as the foundation of our reality and that our replicant mind builds upon that foundation by using corrupt data from our carbon-based memory, then canceling the goal, which is the foundation, will collapse the reality we have built, just as a building collapses when it is imploded. Now, another way to do it would be to describe describing the goal.
Let's hold there. Let's take the first thought that you have here. Instead of making it more complex or something else, let's just look at and address that one. And actually, to say that the driver is the foundation really isn't accurate, because if we had 10 different people and we asked them all to load the same driver, the same goal, one person's reality would be rage, one might be guilt, one might be fear, one might be sadness, one might be hilarity and laughter. Each one would have a different reality according to the foundation that they have in their mind. So the foundation is really the content of the brain cell structure. So in a particular circumstance, let's say a situation where someone loads a goal for dad, if their foundation, if the brain cell structure that they have is one of dad being terrifying, and someone else has the foundation of dad being wondrous, wonderful, supportive, and nurturing, load a goal for dad to, you know, bring something home for you, and that driver will cause the mind to use the foundation material in the person who holds dad is terrifying. It will cause the mind to build a terrifying reality. In the other case, the same driver might cause the mind to build a happy reality, knowing that dad is trustworthy and, you know, there's a reason and so it's no problem. In each case, the foundation material determines the reality output.
The foundational material, carbon-based
right.
memory?
Correct. Correct. So the foundation of the reality is the content of brain cells. It's not the driver. The driver is the thing that causes the mind to select certain data to build its reality. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I asked if Julie would be here, because she'd shared that she used the idea of driving a car, which is not an analogy. And I think we're mixing metaphors maybe here. So when I teach this particular step, I talk about computers and give people enough data that, you know, they've got the basic brain cell structure. Usually what I'll talk about is, you know, you've got a computer at home and you buy yourself a nice new IBM Pro printer and you hook it up to your computer, and your computer can't print to it because it's got to have a driver. It's got to have something to tell the computer what data will fit into this printer to give you your, you know, your printed page.
Right.
That's called the driver. And so the driver actually constructs the reality or the printed page that's going to show up in the IBM Pro printer. If all of a sudden I go out and I buy myself a nice new HP DeskJet and I hook it up to the same cable and I try to print with the other driver, I'm going to get gobbledygook. I'm not going to get that single simple page that I wanted to print. So the driver tells the computer or selects data that will make sense to the printer for it to build a page. So when I talk about it being a driver, I'm actually talking about the driver being the device, the goal being the device that selects whatever is in carbon-based memory to build its reality. And so we literally build a picture. We're not building a building here with a foundation. We're built, although there's a foundation there, we're building a picture that is constructed is gathered from data driven by the goal. When I remove the goal, the resultant reality collapses. It shatters, it falls apart, it just dissipates.
So I knew that you would get the computer end of it. and I think that's fantastic. So I think you're right on the button when you say mixed metaphors. I think that's where the confusion has come in for me, because of the images that are triggered by the different words. So what word in computerese would be the same as collapsing Is it deleting?
Well, if I let's say I have a video driver on my computer. Let's shift to something other than a printer. This will fit a little better with the question here. So I have a video driver, and my video driver, when I ask it, say for instance, I just got an awesome new picture from my daughter of Addie, my granddaughter. And so I want to see that. I want my computer to build that picture on my screen. My video driver translates the little dots and dashes that came over my phone from Krista into a picture that I can see. And that driver is what selects the data that's going to be used. Or another way to say it, it recruits the data that's going to be used. In the same way, if I load a goal for Dad, to use that example I used earlier, load a goal for Dad to bring something home for me. If in my file on Dad I have rage at an untrustworthy father, then my mind is going, that driver is going to recruit or gather the data that I have at the root of my file on my father. And I'm going to get a reason. My mind's going to construct or build a picture, literally as my computer builds a picture, of an untrustworthy father. Because the foundational material I have in my carbon-based memory about fathers is they're untrustworthy and rageful or what have you. The other person who has totally trustworthy, nurturing, caring father loads exactly the same goal. I want him to bring this home for me. He didn't. He failed my goal. And my mind, because of the foundational material in it, builds a picture recruited by that driver that says, oh, Dad, you know, he's so trustworthy. I know there's a good reason he didn't get here. And when he gets in, I'm going to hug his neck. The other person, their behavior is, you know, here he is. He didn't do it. He failed me again, untrustworthy. When he gets in here, I'm just going to be pouty and snotty and ignore him. So the perception and behavior that are built out of that foundational material are selected by the goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when I collapse the goal, then that whole picture collapses. Just like I've got a picture, you know, I mean, my granddaughter, Addie, I'm looking at my computer screen right now. She's not in my computer. But, boy, it sure looks like her face. That's all constructed of little dots and, you know, bits of light. Three red, green, and a blue gatherings of dots of light that create that picture. It's a construct that is driven by the video driver. And if I shut down that video driver, all of a sudden, that picture of my granddaughter's sweet face is going to just disappear.
Okay, so you just used the word shut down as opposed to collapse. And
I shut down in a computer, I would shut down a video driver. I wouldn't cancel it, but that would be the equivalent of I'm going to cancel the goal in my mind. So I'm going to cancel the goal. I'm going to shut down the video driver in my computer.
Right. So that's my point is that I think it's really important in this paragraph because it is so loaded, and it's an important paragraph. I think it's very important to present consistent images so that when we read it, we can use our brains to fully understand those important concepts rather than try to sort out the images that driver and collapse bring up. Now, maybe I'm the only one in the world who has these images that are triggered by driver and collapse, you know, one being a building, one being a car. You've given a wonderful example of how it would relate to a computer program. And so I'm just wondering if there is a word in computer language that could be used instead of collapse so that there would be consistency in the images, you know, instead of the mixed images that we have now, the mixed metaphor, the mixed
For me, I don't have any mixed metaphors or mixed images. There's no mixture for me. A mix has been brought in this case, by your mind, but there's no mix there. It's real simple. It's real straightforward. I have foundational material. Something causes my mind. You know, we've talked before about the Harvard research where 10,000 brain cells fire and a maximum 9 bits of information get into my conscious awareness. So according to the information the driver calls on, my mind builds a picture. Same way as in my computer. All I've got are some little dots on the screen, but when I load a driver that tells it how to construct it, it builds a picture of my daughter's face.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remove the information that tells the computer how to do that, then the picture collapses. It literally shatters and falls apart. Maybe this will help to clear it up too. Let me give you another example that helped me to construct this. Several years ago, I was out west. We're driving through the desert, and we're looking at these mountains off in the distance, and the person that I'm with is used to driving in the desert, was actually born and raised in the desert, and so is very used to it. And she says to me, you see where that kind of splits over? You see those mountains way over there to the right? There are no mountains there. I said, I beg your pardon? She said, that's a mirage. It's not there. So, well, what do you mean? Okay, so here's a mirage. And, you know, I'm seeing mountains where there are no mountains.
Right.
She, because of her experience, knows that that part of the image in my brain, as in her brain, is a mirage. And then, as we get closer to the mirage, literally, here's what happened in my mind. When I could decode, when my eye could perceive and I could see that, it was actually heat waves coming up off of the floor of the desert, and there were mountains to the left, and my brain made an assumption that the mountains being to the left, this information coming in, it's really heat waves, but I couldn't tell it. This information coming in, my mind constructs a mountain, a literal mirage, something that isn't there. And when I got close enough to see that they were heat waves, what happened in my brain was literally, it was like I could see them, the image, falling apart, collapsing. I mean, I could literally see these mountains collapsing. Ah, that's a mirage. Well, that's the same as when we have the mind producing realities based in any form of hostility or fear. Our mind constructs a picture of something that isn't there. And the thing that drives or is at the root of that whole process is my goal. And when I cancel my goal, literally my mirage collapses. It falls apart. It disappears. And when that happens, what takes place is it opens a pathway into the dissociated part of my mind so that I get to directly confront that content in the same way as when in the desert I could see, oh, those are just the heat waves coming off the desert floor. My brain did something else with them. And, of course, starting to recognize that that's how the mind works is a huge piece of information, and somebody's just going to have to hang around long enough to build the brain cells to understand how all that works. And I'll offer that, you know, this worksheet in that step number 5. You've been involved in several hundred versions since you first became involved in the work, and that there at least, you know, the version we're working on now is at least version 3017 done over the last 30-some years. It's taken me almost 30 years to understand this whole process of what Yeshua obviously knew very clearly when he told people that they had to forgive from their hearts the wrongs of their brother. The hallucinations, the pictures we build out of our own content are in our own hearts. That's our foundation. And the idea is we need to clean up our foundation, and canceling the goal is how you do it. So there's a, for me, in step five, there's a perfect consistency. Now, I could bring 100 other metaphors in. You know, I could bring in the analogy of a screwdriver. And there's another kind of driver. I could bring in all kinds of different places where our language uses the word driver, and that would fire the brain cells and bring confusion for me until I clarified it and recognized what the whole process was about. And the whole process is about recognizing that when I load a goal, whatever the information is in my carbon-based memory, that goal is going to select certain information, going to cause my mind to use certain information to build a picture. And it is literally a constructed image. And if I want to collapse that image, I do that by canceling the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So does that clear it up in step five for you?
Well, step five has not been unclear. I have understood and do understand the functioning. It's just the words that apparently, to my mind, conjure certain or trigger certain images and are different from your mind. And so...
Well, that's the state of the world, isn't it?
I'm sorry, say again?
That's the state of the world. That's what's happened since the Tower of Babel. Everybody went away speaking a different language, having different content. Again, I could create some sort of analogy of a screwdriver and bring it to that, and I go, oh, I'm all confused because screwdrivers and screws and building a building. You know, I could do 100 different kinds of confusion. What I'm inviting you to do is to come into the metaphor that I'm using, and if there's a different metaphor that you want to bring, that you might want to drop that. And through step five, there's consistency in the metaphor that I'm using in order to get us out of 1,000 generations of being brainwashed with incorrect ideas about forgiveness.
Okay. I'm just thinking of new people. And see, I'm only speaking for myself, so I don't know if there's anyone else out there who has had the same images, or like you said, you meet someone, you do a presentation, they hear this once, so they don't have the excellent opportunity to go into the depth that you have just done unless they're listening to the radio program. So
that's one of the reasons we do it, of course.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, okay. So... let me then go ahead and just describe the other another way of expressing this and see if this makes any sense or if I'm off key here. This will just take a moment. Describing the goal as a driver of our reality is another way to create an image that works, and to be most effective, it needs to be carried throughout the paragraph. So these are notes I made before. So it could go along the lines of, the goal is the driver of our reality. If the goal is based in some form of hostility or fear, then the GPS system in our vehicle will program a path that we will find very unpleasant, rocky, and bumpy. And that is why we need to cancel the goal, so that we can reprogram the GPS with a pathway based in love and have a smooth and joyous ride. So I'm not suggesting that that would take the place of number five, but you see, carrying the concept through what was triggered in my mind, the driver having to do with the vehicle and the GPS and so forth.
Yeah. I think that also works as a perfect metaphor. It's just not the one I'm using in this step. But I think that one could also be used. I mean, as you teach it and, you know, as Julie taught it, obviously it helped to clarify it. And, you know, maybe we could create several different metaphors, and each one would help to build brain cells in another way so the mind gets to, oh, click, oh, I got it, 100%. But, yeah, I think that works perfectly.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're right on track. Right on track.
Okay, well, wonderful.
I certainly didn't mix that with the metaphor of the driver of the building. You know, we've got a building and a foundation, and we've got a computer metaphor, and we've got an automobile and a GPS metaphor. Certainly they could get mixed, and I think we could adequately and accurately construct several different metaphors to make the point, and I think that one works perfectly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And just so I'm clear, the foundation, the goal as the foundation does not work because it is not the foundation of what we build from our carbon-based memory.
No, if the goal, my take would be, if the goal were the foundation, everybody that held the same goal would have the same reality.
Okay.
So in my example of the person who has carbon-based memory filled with, you know, rage and unreliable father, and the person who has love and reliable father, the goal will produce totally different results in those two minds because the foundation of the output of their minds are different. It's the content of carbon-based memory. The goal is the driver that draws things out of the foundation, out of the content of the mind, to produce a picture, to build an image.
Okay, so the way I addressed it before was taking the carbon-based memory into account. I'll just review that for a moment. The goal as the foundation of our reality, and that we replicate, our replicate mind builds upon that foundation, the goal, by using corrupt data from our carbon-based memory. So is that not correct?
I would not perceive, I would not see that as accurate or correct, no. Again, if it were accurate, then everybody who held the same goal would have the same reality.
Okay. All righty. Good, I'm glad I checked these with you. All right. Thank you. I feel complete.
Cool. All right. And, you know, another way of looking at that might be, you know, if I had a computer that was programmed accurately, and I put in a goal, solve the problem 2 + 2. That goal would cause the computer to say 4. If I had a computer that was programmed inaccurately, if its carbon-based memory had inaccurate information, and it was programmed that 2 + 2 = 3, when I put in the driver 2 + 2 =, it would come up with 3. So the foundation of the result, the foundation is the content of the device, the content of the carbon-based memory. The question or the driver is just that, it's a driver. But
okay. The
result varies according to the foundation, which is the content of carbon-based memory, or in the computer analogy, the content of the hard drive, the way it's programmed. Accurately
right. Programmed
would be one answer, inaccurately programmed would be a different one.
Yeah, I really
so
like
that. So the driver, it's kind of like the intermediary with the printer analogy that we used. Now, I need a different intermediary for every printer that I'm going to use. If I'm going to use an IBM Pro printer, I need this driver. If I'm going to use an HP DeskJet, I need a different driver. If I'm going to use an Epson, I'm going to need a different driver. I'm going to need a different intermediary. So it's kind of like the driver or the goal is the intermediary. It doesn't cause the content.
Right.
It just recruits the content and brings it into play. And it then becomes the keyway. When used properly, it becomes the keyway into the part of my mind that holds the foundation that keeps me in insanity or keeps me sane. It's the keyway. Sometimes people will say, well, gee, you know, I have this wonderful goal, Michael, and you're telling me to cancel my goal. What's wrong with this goal? It's like, you know something? That's the most wonderful goal I've ever seen anybody have. I like that goal. I'm going to adopt that goal. I'm going to share that goal with everybody that I meet. That's a wonderful goal. But if that intermediary, that driver, resonates some form of hostility or fear, you're going to be in trouble, not because of the goal, but because of the foundation of the output of the mind, because of the content of carbon-based memory. So the goal becomes the key way into direct access to what's in or forms the foundation of the output of the mind. You know, we say a thing in our culture, we honor kind of the filters to some degree. We say, you know, oh, you know, be careful, stay out of Harry's way today, man. He got out of bed on the wrong side this morning. What are we saying? We're saying that the foundation of the output of his mind is he's going to filter everything through hostility or fear. And so that's kind of like what's set as a foundation for him. So if you bring Harry something wonderful today, he's probably going to puke on you. Be careful. And so it's not the goal that creates the foundation or is the foundation. The goal is the intermediary. It's the thing that tells the mind what data it's supposed to use to build this reality.
Mm-hmm.
In the computer, the driver is the thing that tells the computer which data it should send to this particular printer in order to make a sensible page. A different driver tells it, like, you know, I've got six different drivers in my computer, depending which printer I'm hooked up to. And so I use a different intermediary, a different driver for each printer. If I try to use the printer for my brother printer to print to my HP, I get gobbledygook. I get the equivalent of an insane mind. I get all this, you know, all these crazy symbols and things, pages and pages of nonsensical material. All hostility or fear is just like that. It's nonsensical material. But it's not caused by the driver. It's caused by the content in the mind. The driver is just the thing that selects which data it's going to use at the moment. It's that intermediary between content and output. And the output of the mind is a picture built based upon the information recruited by the driver.
Right.
And I think it's awesome that you're at this stage in your process and your work that you've built the brain cells to go, let me look at this on a deeper level rather than just accept, oh, well, I cancel my goal. When I first started teaching this work, I didn't know why it worked. I didn't know how it worked. I just know that when people canceled the goal, they got in touch with things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a clue how it worked. I taught it for years that way. And you've heard me say it's been in the last 4 or 5 years that I've really started to understand exactly how the mind works and why Yeshua taught to cancel the goal. Here's how it happens. Here's what occurs. And so I congratulate you for being at the stage refined enough to even ask these questions, because most people, well, it takes years to build the brain cells to get to the point where, oh, now I need to refine this one inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of being at that stage of actually wanting to be able to teach it and building these different metaphors, I really like that idea. Because some people will be able to hear one metaphor and get it, and some people will hear a different metaphor and get it. And so I'm going to ask one more question then. If there are other people who may have the same connotation with the word collapse as an imploding building, would it be correct to use the metaphor of the goal being the general contractor? So, therefore, selecting what will be pulled out of the carbon-based memory.
That would be perfect, yes.
Okay. So, for someone...
The goal would be, in that, if you were to build that metaphor and work with people, and if you took that into the construction industry, they go, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
The general contractor says, this is what we're using. No, we're not using that material. No, we're not using... No, you can't touch that. No, we're not looking at that. Here's what we want to use. Everything based in hostility and fear. Boom.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that would be, that's it exactly. Yep.
Great. Okay.
Cool.
So, and thank you so much. Good discussion. And I feel complete. Thank you.
This one will go down in the archives as a good one to listen to for getting, because you know that over the years, the toughest thing to get people to understand is, why the hell would I cancel the goal for this wonderful thing I want? That doesn't make any sense. I deserve that. And, of course, you've heard me say this before to someone who says that. It's like, you're right. You know something? I agree. You deserve that, Creator. Why haven't you created it yet? You haven't created it because there's a bigger part of your mind, a foundation that says, You can't have it, and you don't deserve it. And until you get in touch with and clean that part of your foundation up, you're not going to be able to create it. And the goal is the key way into cleaning that part of the mind up.
Right. Wow.
Or
well,
the general contractor that says, use this data instead of that.
I am going to be listening to this hour again.
Awesome. Well, maybe that. And you know, maybe there'll be some more questions, or, you know, if anybody else is listening, if we've stimulated questions, that's awesome. That's exactly what we're here for,
right.
to look deeper and deeper and deeper into how this whole process works. So that's fabulous.
I love it. Okay. Well, excellent. Thank you, Michael. And, oh, my gosh, there's time for a few more callers maybe.
You know, there's an old thing that says the master knows, the students believe, and the believers have to go beyond belief to knowledge, to their own direct experience. That's what I hear you doing. That's why you'll hear me saying intensives, the opening of just about every intensive, the first thing is, don't believe a word I've got to say. Take it, do your work, make it your own. And I think it's awesome that you're making this your own and you're refining and you know, honing it. And I'm sure that each of us will get some gifts out of this conversation, as will everybody that listens. And that's the idea of the work.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
much appreciated. And love.
Love to you and love to Jeannie and everybody else out there, the whole family. Blessings. Okay, I'll sign off.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Jeannie, do we have any other callers in the lineup? Our calling number, of course, is 646-200-4169. If you're on one of those stations we don't have in our control panel. Oh, Jeannie just... Okay. So, Jeannie just tells me that the internet is down, which is just... horrendous, because I'm in about 3 hours of a download of a file that now is going to be probably corrupted, and we'll have to start over, but I guess that's the way it is. Okay. So I apologize, everybody, but our internet is down here in Orlando, and so Jeannie said she had 4 or 5 callers on hold. I don't know. Dr. Tim, are you still able to get through here? Are you still with us? Hello, Dr. Tim. Are you with us? Okay, I guess, I don't know what's happened, but in any event, let's just do a brief review, seeing as how the conversation has been about the canceling of the goal. Let's just do a review of that whole process, and that is that, you know, in the ancient Aramaic language, the word that's been translated as forgive is the word shabag, S-H-B-A-G. And it literally translates to cancel, to let loose, to untie. And so the goal that you hold in your mind is what causes your mind to build your reality the way that it does. The pictures, the world that you see, the way that you see things. Now, I love what Einstein says here. He says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Any physical thing that you think you see is a construct in your mind. It isn't out there the way you think it is. You know, when you look at me, or you think you're looking at me and you say, Michael, I see your body, my offering to you is, I don't have a body. You don't see my body. My body is a construct in your mind based upon what I resonate in you. It is an image built out of data held within you. And if I'm satisfying all the goals that you hold for me, you'll probably build that image out of wonderful things, and you'll think, isn't that Michael Rice just wonderful? And if I'm not satisfying all the goals you hold for me, if your power person puked on you when you didn't satisfy their goals, then probably you'll want to puke on me and say, that Michael Rice, he deserves my puke. Because according to the content of the mind, and most of it is based in our power person dynamics, whatever the goal resonates we use to structure our reality and our behaviors. And so when I look at a physical world, I'm looking at a picture built by my brain out of the content of my brain cell structure. I'm looking at an image structured, fabricated, and built, constructed out of whatever my content is. That's why 10 different people can look at an event and think, you'd think by listening to the descriptions, it was 10 different events. But they're all looking at the same event. Everybody's got a reality. And if my reality is based in hostility or fear, then my mind is using corrupt data to build the world that it sees, the pictures that it sees. Now, the way that I can collapse that reality that comes from my hostility or fear, the way that I can begin to rid myself of corrupt data is by forgiving. And what I do in any given situation that I have some form of hostility or fear is I identify what the object of that hostility is or fear, and I look at the goal that I'm holding for that object of attention. I don't ever have upset toward people who are doing everything I want them to do. I only have upset toward the parts of my mind that hold my hostility and fear. And so when someone resonates my hostility or fear, I have a chance to go in and remove that as foundational material for the output of my mind. But how do I get to it? Because I believe that it's them. Look at, they made me angry. The reason why I believe they made me angry is because I'm in denial, and I'm now dissociating from the very foundations of my own mind. And I really think that what's causing my turmoil or pain or upset is somewhere out there. It's somebody else. And so I'm locked into that hostility or fear-based picture as being an image of something that's actually outside of you, when the truth is that image is something that's inside of you. It's a picture built by my mind. I'm not looking at the world out there. I'm looking at the content of my own brain cell structure, formulated into an image that makes sense of for me. And that which makes sense for me is always that which is in harmony with my purpose. If I perceive that my purpose is, well, you know, it's a dangerous world, you have to protect yourself, then I'm going to continuously hallucinate reasons to protect myself. If I live in a world of, and the foundation of my mind is, I'm here to be a creature called love and to function wholly and totally in the love of God, then the output of my mind, I'll look at the same thing that this person beside me looks at and sees reason to be in protect mode, and I'll see reason to reach out and embrace and love and support. So each of us has a structure that reflects our own content. The realities, the images, the pictures output from the mind always tell us more about the content of our own mind than the world we're looking at. If we don't like the pictures, the key way into changing that part of our mind is our goal. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what we're about with forgiveness. And if you want to access that information, www.whyagain.org. Click in the upper left-hand corner, top left corner, you'll see a link that says start here. And that will give you the worksheet, and there are 5 different radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. We're blessed by getting to play with you today. Thanks for being here. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Join us 2 weeks from now in St. Petersburg, Florida. On Sunday, we're going to be with Don Jackson at Unity at 5 in the afternoon, talking about religious truths, or religious lies, and Aramaic truth. So we'll be doing that with Don Jackson at 5 o'clock at Unity of Sarasota. Hold you in a blessing. Take care. Bye-bye.